Today's Shir Masechta Baba Basra Daf Kuf Lamed Dalad. Bezer Hashem is Baruch. We will begin on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. Five lines from the Banim Tana Rabbanim. Tana Rabbanim Meis Badim Echod Shloi Haya Banav Noyagim Kishura. There was an individual whose children were not acting as they should have. Amar V'Kosov Kan Nechosov. Amar V'Kosov Nechosov L'Yonisim Nazil. He went and he wrote over his assets to Yonasim ben Aziel. And what Yonasim ben Aziel did was machashlish, he sold off a third of those assets. Higdashlish, he was magdish a third of those assets. For Hechser Lebonov Shlish, and he gave back a third of those assets to the of those assets to the children. And as the Rashbam explains the Gemara, the order that the Gemara is speaking about and what he did is mentioned in a very specific fashion. Because what the Gemara is trying to teach us is that first he sold and then he was magdish. To say that, to show that what he was doing was, it was really his. And since it was really his, he had the right to sell it, he had the right to be magdish it. So then when he gave it away, he was giving something that was his. The Mefarshim asks that isn't there a rule that we often say, Soinim Matanas Yechia, a person shouldn't want to take gifts? So how was Yonasim ben Aziel prepared to take this gift? So one pshat that I saw the Rishonim suggest is that it wasn't given to him directly as a gift. It was, they made it Hefker, and after they made it Hefker, he picked it up. But Tosfos says that even though Soinim Matanas Yechia, but here he had a very strong point in what he was trying to accomplish, to get the children to get back part of the assets, to get some of the assets into the hands of Tzedakah. So just to take a gift, indeed there's a rule, Soinim Matanas Yechia. But when there's a done with a, such a positive reasoning, there the halacha is that we don't say Soinim Matanas Yechia. And says the Gemara, what happened then was, Barlov Shammai b'makal v'tamiloi, Shammai came and to talk to him, because Rav Shammai held that, as we're going to learn now in the Gemara, that what he did was wrong. Omalei Shammai. Shammai says, Im at yochel haitzi, so Yonasim ben Aziel says to Shammai, Im at yochel haitzi is mashem charti, if you could show that my sale wasn't a full-fledged sale, and mashig dashta ati yochalatzi, what I was magdish, you, I was not machshig zati, since to you it wasn't real, imlav. And yet ati yochalatzi machshig zati, what he said, Rav Yonasim meant to say was, that just like you're agreeing that what I sold is a valid sale, and what I was magdish was a valid hegdish, the gift that I gave was a valid gift, and therefore it's 100% legitimate what I did in giving the sons these assets, even though that was not what the father wanted. And the Gemara is going to explain in a moment why Shammai thought he did the wrong thing. Amma, so Shammai said, Hetilchai ben Aziel, Hetilchai ben Aziel. Ben Aziel was able to answer me in a way that was a successful argument. And the Ben Yoyada says that the Gemara uses the word hetiach twice to show that what he just said, that the mechira, the sale, was a valid sale, and the hegdish was a valid sale, so that's why he made the statement twice. Says the Gemara, mikar my sover. What was Shammai's concern with what Rabbi Yonasim ben Aziel did, and how was that explained? So says the Gemara, mishum maist bescharon. What was bothering Shammai was based on what happened with Beis Choron. What happened with Beis Choron, the Tana Maisa Beis Choron, Be'echad Shaya Aviv Moda HaMenayim Menu. There was a story in Beis Choron where a father made a neder that his son can't have any benefit from him. V'yimasiya Benoi. And now he was marrying off, this person was marrying, the son was marrying off a son. He wanted his father to be able to attend the wedding. So this person told his friend, the place where the wedding is going to take place, the suda, and the wedding party in the sunnah l'cha b'matana. Then I'm only giving it to you today. Shiova ab of yoichel man b'suda. There's a nether that my father can't benefit from me, but there obviously is no nether that my father can't benefit from you. And therefore, what I ask of you is that you should take ownership of the wedding and all the parts of the wedding. And by you taking ownership of the wedding and all the parts of the wedding, like that, my father will be able to come, because it's not I who's making the wedding, it's you making the wedding. That my father should be able to participate in the wedding. And the Rishonim point out, the Ritva says, it was done with a proper kinyan. Amaloi, so the person who was being asked to participate, was given the whole wedding party, says, Im shalihein, if indeed they belong to me, I'm giving them shemayim. And as Rishonim explained, he didn't want to participate in this type of a haroma, in this type of a game. So he said, let's see if it's really mine. How will we see that it's really mine? The way we'll be able to see that it's really mine is that I have a right to do whatever I want with it. I can be magdashit if I want to be magdashit. Im shalihen areim gdosh l'shamayim. Amaloi, to which the person said, but in the sati l'cha, I only gave it to you. My goal wasn't that you should be able to be magdashit. Amaloi, so then he says, also I expose you. The only reason you gave it to me is your father and you should be able to eat and drink together and make peace with each other. And I should be the one to do the Avera that your father really isn't supposed to participate here, will be participating here. So at that point, says the Gemara Amr Chacham, Chazal taught us, Kol Matana. Any gift that isn't up to the degree, she'ena, she'magdish magdashis, that if the person who receives the gift has a right to be magdashit, then ena matana. It's not considered that it's a valid gift. But what Yonis ben Uziel was saying here was that the gift that I was given was 100% full-fledged gift. And since it was 100% full-fledged gift, I could do with it what I want. So, Reni Rishonim asked a question. We know that the Gemara teaches us that on Sukkos, if one doesn't have his own esrig, and the Torah Kedosh, when it speaks about the Dalaminim, says, V'lokachtam lechem, that the Dalaminim that we use have to belong to us. So the question is, how could I fulfill the mitzvah of V'lokachtam lechem if it's not mine? So Gemara says it has to be given in a way. One of the ways to do it is given by at matana menas lachzi. You give me a gift with a stipulation that I have to give it back to you. So now the question is, a matana menas lachzi by definition is a gift that's not really completely mine. So why is that not a problem if we're learning here that if it's not a full-fledged gift, that I can do whatever I want with it, it's not considered mine? So Taisus answers that when we speak about matana menas lachzer, is while I have it in the time of being a matana lachzer, I can be magdashit. It's completely mine. Yes, what I'm going to give it back, the hegdash is going to expire. But while it's mine, I can do whatever I want. The Ri says that what the Gemara here means doesn't mean that you have to be able to be magdashit. The point is that I should be able to do with what I have while I have it. Well, the esrig is with me, it's mine. Maybe I can't be magdashit because then I have a problem getting it back. But it's, since it's mine, then it's okay. Another tariff that the Rishonim give is that we start from a different place. When somebody gives me a matana manas lahachser, we're not in a place that we're not allowed to have hanor from each other. I just don't happen to have an esrig. And the way I'm going to get an esrig is by you giving to me a matana manas lahachser. So to able to accomplish that it should become mine, it's much easier to accomplish it by something like that versus a case where our Gemara starts with something which is that they have this nether that they have to overcome. There we have to be. There the halacha has to be much stricter in the way that it should be considered truly mine. Tana Rabbanan says the Gemara Shemani Tamidim Hayolel Hillel Azokin. Hillel Azokin had 80 Talmidim. The Yishami says that it wasn't 80 Talmidim, it was 80 pairs of Talmidim. Shloshim Hem, 30 of them were Ruyin, Shetish Aleim, Shechina Kamash Rabbeinu. They were on the Madrega that they should have the Shechina like Moshe Rabbeinu. Just their time and place that they lived didn't allow for that to happen. And the Rambam explains what does it mean, Shetish Aleim Shechina. What it means is that these people are even greater than Malachim. The level where they've become, that the Gashmius and Ruchnius are all in service of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, is greater than the Malachim. So ask the Chassam Sofer, how can we suggest that they were equal to Moshe Rabbeinu? Don't we know that the Pasuk says, Lekom Navi Oid B'Yisrael K'Moshe? There was never a Navi on the same equivalent to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Chassam Sofer says that Pasuk refers to Nevuah. There was no one on the same Madrega as Moshe Rabbeinu as far as Nevuah, but in other areas they were equivalent. Shlosh Mehem, 30, Ruish Atamlam Cham Kishua Benun. 30 that were on the level that just like the moon, the sun stopped, it was so too for them it would stop. And Rashbam says the truth is that the sun stopped for Moshe Rabbeinu. But what we always speak about Yeshua, because Moshe Rabbeinu was great, so great, so that the sun stopped for Moshe Rabbeinu is not such a big chiddush. So we say that even for Yeshua, he reached the level that the sun stopped for them. Gol Shebekulon, the greatest of them was Yonasan ben Ziel. Kot Shebekulon, the smallest of them was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Amar Alva Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It says the Gemara, they said about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shloiniach Mikra, there was no Chumash, U'Mishnah, Mishnayis, Brises, Gemara, is what we know as Shas, V'alochis are Haloch L'Moshe M'Sinai, V'agodis are the Agadatas, the Gduke Torah, which are Ribuyim and Miutim that we have all over Shas, that we learn from an extra letter, an extra word, V'Gduke Seifrim, different rules that Chazal instituted that other people should not violate what it says in the Torah, Kalim v'chamurim, akal v'chomers, gzer shavis, v'tkufis, being able to calculate the moilah, the sun, the moon, gematrios, different pshatim and gematrios. Some say gematrios is the numerical value of words that we learn halachas from. Others say the gematrios is when we have abbreviations, umishalas, kofsim, umishalas sholim, different types of analogies that were said about different things, about people who do laundry and people who do faxes. All of these are ways to understand what it says in the Torah. Sichas Shadim, what the Shadim say, which was used to make refuas. Sichas, the column. Some say that the trees, as they sway in the wind, are really speaking and telling us things. Sichas Malachi Sharis, to hear what the Malachim are saying. The Dove Gadol, Dove Katan. So ask the Gemara immediately, what is Dove Gadol, what is Dove Gadol? Dove Gadol is the Masa Makava, which we find in Yecheskel, which speaks about the esoteric way the world was created. The Dove Katan is a Bayi V'Rava. So of course, all the Mepharshim try to understand a Bayi V'Rava, which are the basis of all of our learning. How could one suggest our Dover Cotton are insignificant? So of course, the Pashto Pshat is that there's a difference between what's Sisrei Torah, what's Kabbalah, and what's pshat in a Gemara. That is not so hidden. It's not a Torah's Hester, and that's why it's called Sisrei Torah. But the Baal Shem says that when we speak about halacha, what Abaye v'Rava teach us, when we speak about what Abaye v'Rava teach us, so in reality, it's about things that affect our day-to-day life, where, and therefore, one could assume that that just like understanding the law in a law book. And in fact, that's what the Baal Shem says. What we're learning here is that what Abaye v'Rava say is not to be looked at as just rules. But we have to understand that what Abaye v'Rava say represent the Torah that the Kadosh Baruch Hu teaches us. Says the Gemara, these Talmidim had fulfilled with them the Kaima Shenemar, V'Hanchel Oyve Yesh, V'Tzriseim Male, because they are a male, because they're full of Torah, that's why they had such oitzris. So ask the Gemara, V'Chi Ma'achad Katan Shemakulon Kaim, if that was the lowest Madrega, Gol Shemakulon, the greater Talmidim, Alachs Kam V'Kama. It says, Amr Alav Al Yonis and Mezil. So they said about Yonis and Mezil, Shavishar Shiyoshiv Oysa V'Tor, when he learned, Kol Oif Shaparech Alav, any bird that flew over him, Nisraf. That, and the Ritva explains, his Kedusha was so great that even the bird that flew above him, and the birds that normally fly above us, are above Dalet Amos. What happened here was the Kedusha was so great that the Kedusha spread even so far because of the Malachi Asharis. Another pshat is just that the Rishon Tosfos suggests is that we know that when the Torah was given, there were Kailus Abrokim and Eish, there was fire. Every time Yonis and Ben Uziel sat down to learn, that experience that Yonis and Ben Uziel was learning was equivalent to how the world looked when the Torah was given. There's a famous vort from the Kotzker. The Kotzker says, if this was Yonis ben Uzziel, and Yonis ben Uzziel, we know, was a Talmud of Hillel. So how did it look when Hillel was learning Torah? So the Kotzker used to explain that when a person learns Torah, yes, there is such a tremendous fire, there's such a tremendous experience of Shekhinah at such a time. But what is, and the birds get burned. But what's even greater is to be able to hold in the greatness. He wasn't able to hold it in, and everybody saw what it was. But other people, the Hillel, was able to control that it shouldn't go past where it was supposed to be. So if Yonah ben Uzziel was such a great person, ask the Gemara, why don't we find Yonah ben Uzziel more prominent? So he says that what makes Yonah ben Uzziel have a disadvantage versus everybody else is, as we see in our Gemara, Yonah ben Uzziel was only a Talmud of Hillel, and a person should expose himself to all types of learning. And that's what Yonis ben Uzziel did not have. Yonis ben Uzziel had Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did not have. Yonis ben Uzziel did not have. He tiach dvarim. He spoke against Shammai. Says Meshalayim Zebni, if somebody says in a specific individual that this is my son, Nema, we believe him. And we believe him to the degree that his wife won't have to have Yibam. But if he says Za Achai, if he says that this is my brother, Eina Neman. He's just saying that this individual is my brother will not help him, that his brother should get a share in the Yerusha. But Yitalama Bechelkai, which as we're going to learn the share means, you're saying he's your brother. So if you're saying he's your brother, so then if your father will pass away, you'll have to give him a share of the Yerusha. But the other brothers won't. And therefore, only you will. Mace. And therefore, this person passes away, yachsul chasul mekaymim. They'll get the brother that says that if this brother dies, yachsul nchasim, that they're going to get the Yerusha from the father, will give it back to the one that gave it. The brother who gave up from his share by saying, I recognize he's my brother, is the one that gets it back. But what about Naflu Nechasim Makam Acher? This person whose status is unclear passes away, then all the brothers will divide, even the brothers who have, and the Gemara will elaborate on this, who have not admitted that he is a brother. Says the Gemara, Zebni Neman, if somebody says that this is my son, the Allah is Neman, we accept what he says. Ask Gemara Lamai Hilchsa, for what halacha is this relevant? Amar Rabbi Yehuda liyarshay, that this person will be his yairish, the liftas ishtam and ibam. If this individual is his son, then his wife will not have to have ibam because he dies with children. So Mishnah is teaching us that the father is saying that this is my son. But of course the question is, if according to you he's your son, then you're a relative. So there are two problems. Number one, a relative may not be an eid. And number two, you're only eid echad. So how could a father be trusted for this testimony? So the Rosh says, as we've been quoting a pasuk in our shiurim, Tarak Dosha says, Ki asa b'char ben asnua yakar, that the father has a right to identify that this son is his b'char. So says the Rosh, just like a father is believed to identify that this son is a b'char, the Torah gave him the capacity to take and identify a person as his son. The Rashbam and Tosfos disagree, and they say that the pasuk of Yakar only empowers a father to say that somebody that we know is his son is the Bechor. But where do we take that the father could say that this person who we don't know is his son is his son? So the Rashbam and Tosfos, based on what we're going to learn in the Gemara, say it's based on the Migui. Because what are we saying, that he could have given him a Yerush, because he's going to be his Yerush? If he wanted, he could have given it to him, whatever he's going to get anyway, as a gift. And since he has that ability, that's why he has that nemanus, but it's not included, according to them, in the new special halacha that we've been discussing of Yerushai. So ask the Gemara, very much as we just explained, the halacha is Liyarshai Pshita. Of course he's believed, because he has the migui that he could have given him the money anyway. And it says the Gemara, what the Mishnah is trying to teach us should lift us ishtim and ayibim etzuchalei, that we believe him to the degree that his wife, were he to die, when he dies, won't have to have yibim. But ask the Gemara, Hanami Tanina, is this not a Mishnah that's taught in Masechet Kedushin? The Mishnah Masechet Kedushin teaches us, Mish Amar B'Shas Misasai, if somebody as he's passing from the world says, Yesh Li Banim, I have sons, and therefore my wife doesn't have to have Yibam Neman. And the Rashbam explains that even though the Mishnah there says he said it at the time of death, it's not limited to the time of death. He could say it and be believed. But if he says, Yesh Li Acham, I have brothers that we are not aware of, then the halach is Ein Neman, and therefore my wife has to have Yibam. If we don't know that is the case, and he dies, his wife doesn't have to wait and see, maybe there are brothers. So why is it necessary for our Mishnah to tell us that we believe him when he says that he has children and his wife doesn't have to have Yibam? Isn't that what it was taught at the Mishnah Masechta Kedushin? Answers the Gemara. Hasam, Taloy Mukhsalam Ba'ach. We never knew that he had a brother. So since that we didn't know he had a brother, and as the Rashbam says, we also didn't know that he had children. But his wife was, we were living with the assumption that his wife will not have to have Yibam. And therefore, when he says Yesh Li Banim, he's only extending what we have been assuming all along. Hacha, Here we're speaking about a case, the Muxklam Ba'ach, that we always knew that he had a brother, and we always knew that he didn't have any children, and therefore the halacha is that we still believe him when he says that he has children, that his wife wouldn't have to have Yibam. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Mishmu, Mameima Amru, Zebani Neman, why is the halacha when somebody says that I have a son, he's Neman? Hoyel Baal Shama Garashtas Ishti. Just like we know if a husband says, I divorced my wife, Neman. Why is he Neman? Because he can always have a migui that I could have divorced her. That's why he's Neman right now. So too is he Neman when he says that I have a son. If he would, she would be divorced, she wouldn't have to have Yibam. So saying this is really the exact same thing. I'm Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef asked the question what Rabbi Yehuda said. And the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara is where we know, Gemara often says this, that Rabbi Yosef got ill and he forgot his learning. And he would ask questions because he wasn't quite clear in what he learned. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Mar de Omer, Tali Tanya, Beloi Tanya. The din that's said in the Mishnah is being connected to something that isn't said in the Mishnah in Braisa. The husband that said Gerashtis Ishti and Neman, that you're saying is the basis for our halacha, is not stated in any, it's not stated anywhere else. So the Mefarshim try to understand why, how did Avram Avinu get into the Gemara? Why does he say Mare the Avram Avinu? So I saw a number of pshat. One pshat I saw is that we learned earlier in our Masechta on the Avtei Zayin Beis, Avram Avin Toiva Hoisa Talui B'Tzavar Shel Avram Avinu. There was this beautiful stone hanging on the neck of Avram Avinu. Kol Aroya, so whoever would see that stone, Yad Misrapping. Avram Avinu had the ability to help people have a refuah shleima. So as we just explained, Rabbi Yosef was unfortunately sick, and therefore, since Rabbi Yosef was unfortunately sick, he talked, halavai, I should be able to see Avram Avinu, and by seeing Avram Avinu, I'll be able to have a refuah. Another pshat that I saw is the person who asked the first good question in the world was Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was the one that brought the Amuna that there's a Kaddish Baruch in the world. Well, how did he say it? Because there was a fire burning in a house, and Avram Avinu said, can it be that this house is burning and there's nobody that owns the house, there's nobody to put up the house? The point being that Avram Avinu asked that question, which was a fantastic question, which is the basis of our Amunah, and says, so therefore he said, halvai, I should have a question to my question. Another point is that, as we just said, Rabbi Yosef became blind. And there's a question, if Suma, if somebody who is blind is chayav b'mitzvos. Avram Avinu taught us that even though somebody is not obligated to do a mitzvah, he should still do the mitzvah. As the Gemara says, Chaim Avram Avinu kol ha-Torah kula. Avram Avinu fulfilled the entire Torah actually nitna before it was given. Afilu erev tavshilin. And therefore, Rabbi Yosef, who also unfortunately could not fulfill mitzvahs, connected himself to Avram Avinu. So the Gemara says that Toli Tanya b'deloi Tanya. There's a story where somebody once came to the Sfas Emes as a young married man who had just got married, and his father-in-law told him that he could remain in Kailul and that he would support him. And he came to complain to the Sfas Emes that he was not being supported by his father-in-law. So the Sfas Emes asked him, does your father-in-law learn any Torah? So he says, no, my father-in-law is a very simple person and he doesn't learn Torah. So he says, of course, that's why you weren't successful. Tole Tanya, but Deloy Tanya. You're a person that's learning, and he's a person that's not learning. A person who's Tanya, a person who's learning, cannot be dependent, Tali Tanya, You can't have, as our Gemara indicates, you can't have somebody who is Tanya, who's learning, connected to somebody, relying on somebody who's loy Tanya. Eliyat Mahoch Yitma, says the Gemara, this is the way to understand. Amar Yudam Shmuel, Neima Amar Zebani Neman, why is the halacha that somebody who says, this is my son, can be trusted to the degree that the wife will not have to have Yibam? Because Hoyal B'yadol Garsha, if he wanted, he could have divorced her, and then there wouldn't be Yibam anyway. Amar Yosef, Hashad Amrit, now that you have established that there is this concept of Amrinan Hoyal, so the halacha is, Baal, if a husband walks in and says, Gerashti es Ishti, I divorced my wife, Neman, the reason that he's believed is he's Neman because Hoyal B'yadol Garsha, because even if she's not divorced, he has a Migui, because he could have always divorced her now, here and now. Says the Gemara, but, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rabbi Yosef. And says the Gemara, Kiyasa Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Baal Sh'omer Gerashtis Ishti, if a husband says I divorced my wife, ain't it Neman. Why? Because according to him, you can't rely on the Migui, because if that were indeed the case, that she was divorced, then everybody would have known that this couple is divorced. The fact that nobody knows that they're divorced is an indication that they are actually not divorced. Says the Gemara, Menachem Rav Sheshes B'yodei. Rav Sheshes waved his hand. Sha'ozer le'hoyel de Rav Yosef. And he said, Rav Yosef has been teaching us about the hoyel and how powerful the hoyel is. And now we see that the hoyel is not really... that strong. There's a machloikis achroinim. According to Rabbi Yosef, that we do say hoyel. And Rabbi Yosef says that what the hoyel says is that since he could have divorced her, then we believe in it that she's divorced. How far does that namonis go? Does that go that she can marry a kohen or not? In the discussion in the achroinim, what is the basis of hoyel? Is it a namonis that shows that he should be trusted, and therefore we don't go into all the details, or it's only if that was actually fulfilled. Any, says the Gemara, Varab Chivar Oven Amr Abyakan Basha Amir Grishti Neman, says the Gemara Loi Kashta. Kalam Afreya, when he says, I already divorced my wife, he's not Neman. Because the Migui that I could have divorced her is not a strong enough Migui, because that doesn't work backwards. Kan Lahaba, going forward, it will be Neman. And the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara is as follows. The Gemara often speaks about that there's a concern that if a wife acted immorally, and if a wife acted immorally, of course the husband has to divorce her, and not only divorce her, if she was Mizana as an Eishes Ish, she's Chayiv Misa. So if the husband wants to protect her, even though they're in a bad place, if the husband wants to protect her, what the husband does is, he says, I already divorced her before she did this act. And because Chazal were concerned for that, Chazal said he can't be Neman. And that's exactly what the Gemara is saying here. Saying that they were married, that they were divorced from a while ago, we need to be concerned that he's saying it only to protect her. And that's why he's not Neman. But in a case where what he's saying is not going backwards, it's going forward, for that, he's Neman. Bailahu. So ask the Gemara. Amala Freya. If he said, I had divorced her previously, which was saying now that the Migui only works moving forwards, not moving backwards. By making this statement, ask the Gemara, Ma'alam Ninul Haba will at least help towards the future. Mi Palgir in the Bura, do we divide his words and say, I can't believe you on what was, but I can believe you on the future. Or if we don't believe you, we don't believe you at all. Ma'alam nu labo, mi palgirin de bura, loy palgirin de bura. Says the Gemara, Ramari v'rezvir, charama palgirin, v'charama loy palgirin. Turns out to be a machloik samroim. Ask the Gemara, but ma'ishnam de rava, why is this different from when the halacha that rava taught us, Masechta Sanhedrin, dafyur amin aleph, where Rava teaches us, Somebody says, Ish Plani Ba'al Ishti, that this man had relations with my wife. Who ve'echem mistarfen lahargoy? So now we have two people saying Adis. If there's another person saying Adis, that this person acted this way, he's chayv misa, but it's lahargoy to kill that person lahargoy, because the man that's saying that this person did this is not believed vis-a-vis his wife. And we see that we apply the concept of palginan debura, and we accept it for the adulterer, and we don't accept it for the adulteress. So isn't this clearly an indication that we say palginan debura? Answers the Gemara, betray gufa palginan. When we're talking about two different people, the adulterer and the adulteress, they're two different people, and we can accept the testimony on one and not the other. Another way of learning, the Rishonim say, this testimony really is made up of two parts. It's part of, there's one testimony that this man did something wrong, and there's another testimony that this woman did something wrong. When we think about that, these two testimonies are totally independent of each other. And since the two testimonies are totally independent of each other, that's why the halacha is we could separate it, because they could have been offered as two separate testimonies. Whereas in Al Gemara, we're speaking about Chad Gufa. We're speaking about this husband and wife. Are they married or are they not married? And to divide the past and the future, says the Gemara, the halacha is that loy palginan, we can't separate. And we're going to accept it. We could only accept it moving. Either we're going to accept it, or if we're not going to accept it. If we're not going to accept it, that we can't, that we are.